Joe has decided to do three different lessons today on the subject of faith. So if you weren't in the first hour, you won't get to hear that lesson. You'll hear another good lesson. You might want to get that tape. It was outstanding. If you were in the first hour, we encourage you to stay for the third hour and just hear all three of these good lessons. Before I say another word about Joe, let me just say to all of our guests today, we are thrilled you're here. I hope you'll take a moment to fill out that purple card. And at the end of this service, you can turn it in or take that card to the Welcome Center. And let us give you a Bible if you don't have one at home to start reading. Also, at the end of Joe's lesson, we're going to stand and sing a song. And when we do, if there's anything that we can do for you today to help you, we want to do that. And you can let us know of that need by going to a room. It's room 109. It's the room right across from the tables in the atrium area. And some of our church leaders will be there. Maybe you would like to ask a question about our church or how to be a part of this church. Or you'd like to know about one of our ministries for your family. Or you'd just like someone to talk to or pray with. Or we'd like to minister to you today. So if you have any of those needs, when we stand and sing at the end of Joe's lesson, just go to that room and we'll meet you there. Joe Beam has served the Lord in a variety of ways and had a fruitful ministry. But especially as the director of Family Dynamics. It's a ministry that is blessing families all over America. Many of our marriage and parenting ministries in this church are the direct result of the Family Dynamics outreach. And we're grateful to Joe for that. We are so thrilled he could be with us today. He's going to talk to us about a deeper faith.
It is absolutely a pleasure to be with the Great Richland Hills Church and with my friend Rick Atchley. If you're visiting here today or just a regular member thinking, boy, I wish that Rick were preaching, I'm with you. I love to listen to the man because of the fact that he's always deep into the Word. He's always deep into God. And he's always sharing whatever he needs to share from that for us. And he's one of my, I guess he's probably my favorite preacher. And if God could let me come back as anybody but me, I'd want to be Rick Atchley, if not Michael Jordan. And I would really... No, I'm serious. He's my hero. We're talking about the subject of faith. Am I doing better with the microphone this time? Okay, I'm trying really hard. It turns out in the first service we discovered I talk faster than the speed of sound. I almost thought that, but we proved that in the first service. I'm trying to do better in this service. Now, can I ask you, are you allowed to talk back during the sermon? Apparently. Okay. So if I were to ask the question, what is faith, or how would you describe or define faith, how would you do that? Not all at once. I'm sorry down here I heard. One more time? Believing God said it? Oh, believing without seeing. It's terrible for me to ask questions when I'm deaf. I was actually doing a business seminar once after I finished the platform speech. I did a breakout group that had 60 people in it. It turned out they were all female, just coincidentally. And we had 15 minutes, so I introduced myself to every woman in the room. I'm just trying to tell you what it's like when you're hard of hearing, and I am. And we were about to start. Three more women walked in and sat on the very front row, right here where you are, Will. How you doing? Good to see you. And they sat here. I'd introduced myself to everybody else, so I walked over and introduced myself to those three women. The one in the middle was wearing a corsage. Nobody else in the room wearing a corsage. So I asked her, why are you wearing a corsage? The lady next to her answered for her. What she said was, she's being installed as an officer. With my hearing problem, what I heard clear as day was, she's being sold at auction. So, faith is seeing or believing without seeing. There's a scripture that goes with that. Anybody know what it is? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, is according to which translation you read, but I think it's the King James says NIV says, cotton patch, what does it say? Substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now that's a pretty interesting definition. It's basically what you said back there. It's having faith in something that you cannot see, and if you have faith in something you cannot see, you're not typically part of the Western world. I mean, literally, the Western world means basically the U.S. and Canada and Europe. The Eastern world has to do with other parts of the world where they believe in things they can't see. But we have been taught since birth, if you can't prove it, it's not there. If you can't empirically prove that it's there, it's not there. I mean, is that not the way we look at things? And so it's really difficult for us to have faith because you can't really put it under a microscope. You can't find it with a telescope. And so sometimes it's very difficult for us to understand what faith really is. Now, you agree with that, right? So let me illustrate very quickly. In my hand is a $20 bill. Can anybody see it? Okay. How many of you believe that it's there? Raise your hand. Well, thank all four of you. Apparently, you didn't understand. I'm saying that in my right hand, I do have a $20 bill. I know you can't see it, but it is there. How many of you believe that it's there? Okay, maybe 100. All right, how many of you know it's not there? Mm-hmm. You see, we'd call you atheist. I can't prove it's not there, but I know. How many of you don't know if it is there or not there? Mm-hmm. We'd call you agnostics. Maybe not. Now, since you can't see it, you'd have to take my word for it that it's there, and that's what faith is. If you say, show it to me, and I'll believe you, my response would be, no, you wouldn't. If I show it to you, you're not believing me. If I show it to you, you're believing your own eyes. And so the Apostle Paul said, you walk by faith, or you walk by sight. You walk by something that you believe to be true, even though you haven't seen it because of the testimony of the one that tells you, or you walk by whatever you yourself can prove. Now, if you walk by sight, your world is pretty limited because there's a lot of things that you have not yet experienced. If you walk by faith and have faith in the right testimony, then your world is unlimited. Of course, what we have a problem with is that we have so often believed testimonies that were false. And so we've become skeptical and don't want to believe people at all. That doesn't explain to me, though, why you don't believe me. I mean, would you buy a used car with a man with a face like this? Okay, strike the question. What I'm saying is it's there. And if you believe me, you believe it's there. You say, are you equating yourself with God? Absolutely not. I'm just trying to illustrate what faith is. And those who believe it's there are people who believe I tell the truth. So we'll try it one more time. How many of you believe I have a $20 bill in my right hand? Okay, how many of you know it? And how do you know it, if you'll shout out? Because I said so, and I'm a truthful man. Besides, I'd be a complete idiot not to have it in my hand and tell several thousands of people that it's there, right? And so you can know it. If I put it back and never show it to you, well, you always know it's there. I just lost you. Okay. If you have total faith in me telling the truth, I could cut it back, you would never see it, and you would always know it was there because you know I tell the truth. Is that the way you understand? That's the way faith works. Now for your skeptics, if I hold up the money and say, okay, there is the... what's the number on that, Will? Not the serial number, the big number. 20. 20, okay, thank you very much. Did you hear about those guys in Mississippi that were counterfeiting $2 bills? They were taking 20s and rubbing the zeros off? And you say, you've got a point? I surely hope I do. And if you'll turn to the book of Matthew, I'll try to show you that point, if you will. The book of Matthew. You see, there's so many things in the Scripture that have to do with our believing God, even when our own eyes would tell us that something is not exactly like He says. I'm in the book of Matthew chapter 9. We're toward the end. Let me put on my glasses so I'll see what verse that really is. 27. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. It's just a prop, John. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed Him, calling out, have mercy on us, O son of David. When He had gone indoors, the blind men came to Him and He asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. What else would they have replied? I mean, if you're praying, if you're on your knees tonight praying about something of extreme importance to you, maybe the health of your child or your grandchild, somebody that you love, and you're praying with all of your might, God, please do this for me. And if in the middle of your prayer, God said, do you believe? What would you say? No, I was just praying. Of course you would say, yes, Lord, I believe. Now look what he says to these men when he says, do you believe I'm able to do this? Do you believe I am able? They said, yes, Lord. Now catch this. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith will it be done to you. And their sight was restored. It looks to me what he said to those guys. If you believe it, you can have it. Now, could he have healed their eyes, whether they believed or not? Absolutely. He didn't have to have one single human's faith to speak the galaxies into existence. God's power is not limited by our faith. But the application of God's power is often given only to those who have the faith to believe it will happen. If you read through the book of Matthew, you'll find again and again and again, the word faith pops up here and here and here and here. If you were praying tonight and the Lord said, do you believe? If you said, yes, Lord. If he said this, as much as you believe it, you can have it. Would you go, oh, yes? Or would you go, oh, no. I've really got to believe you can do it. Chapter 13, very quickly, there are a lot of scriptures, but for the sake of time, we'll just look at two more. In Matthew chapter 13, the very last verse in that chapter, the one just before it, everybody can quote. Just before it, it says, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. We know that one, right? Ever quoted that to your spouse? To your children? And look at the next verse. And he did not do many miracles there. But here, why? Because of their lack of faith. Why not? Why would he? I mean, isn't it interesting that some people who claim to have faith really don't worship God, but worship coincidence or luck? A friend of mine who was a tremendous, wonderful Christian man and a powerful preacher of the Lord talked about how he was driving through the desert a couple of years ago, got car trouble, happened to limp into a little New Mexico town, and the car stopped just as he pulled into the dealership of the automobile brand that he was driving. And then he looked at me and said, I was lucky. I said, get on your knees and repent. You were lucky? You just happened to pull into the right dealership out in the middle of the desert. You're from Alabama. You don't know how to survive in the desert. You would die out there. And you got to this dealership and you were lucky. You apologized to God for using the word. God blessed you, and he doesn't want you thanking your lucky stars. Because when you thank your lucky stars, next time you need God, he'll be saying, call on your lucky stars. You want to worship them? See what they'll do for you. Because the God you seek is the God you'll serve. And the God you serve is the God that's going to bless you. And don't expect God in heaven to be pouring out unbelievable blessings when you walk in doubt. Why? Because if you pray in doubt and God answers, it doesn't make more faith, it makes more doubt. Think about it. Sometimes this group of people are praying, Lord, please make this person well. This group of people are saying, there ain't no way, he's a dead man, look at him. We're praying, please, Lord, make him well. Okay, we'll pray too. Lord, please make him well. And he gets well. Have you seen people get well who weren't supposed to get well? And the people that prayed in faith said, thank you, Lord. And the people who prayed in doubt said, he was lucky. You see, God's not going to bless your lack of faith because you just get more lack of faith. One more scripture. We'll try to make an illustration, see if we can close this up. It's in the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew. And again, we're skipping great stories here that keep teaching the same point over and over and over again. Matthew chapter 21. On this particular occasion, Jesus is near the end of his earthly life. Let's see here. Let me find this very quickly. Matthew chapter 21. When you change Bibles, scriptures move. Have you noticed that? Verse 18. Early in the morning, as he was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. Immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did the fig tree wither so quickly, they asked. Do you think he was ever amazed at their amazement? astonished at their astonishment. I mean, what have they seen him do so far? Walk on water, make deaf people hear, blind people see, lame people walk. Oh, dead people live again. They've seen all these things happen. He withers a fig tree and they say, how'd he do that? Sometimes I just picture Jesus kind of looking at God, looking at the apostles and go. Now, if there are teenagers present, please forgive me, but sometimes I think the apostles just act like teenagers. Now, if you're a teenager, don't be offended, because next time your parents get onto you, say, hey, we're just acting like apostles. I mean, you've got to see them sometime going, what'll it take? I mean, what do you have to see to believe? I've done all these things. I wither. Fithers when you do it to a fig tree. I wither one little fig tree, and you're astonished. You're amazed. Now look what he says to them after their amazement, because they're still not getting it. They've seen all these things. Let's see. He replied, they didn't even say it to him, they said it to each other. How did the fig tree wither so quickly? He replied, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. I have been in more Bible classes where I've been taught that Jesus did not mean that. Really. One guy said, if you pray for that mountain to be moved and you wake up and there's a shovel next to your bed, God has answered your prayer. Must be a Texas mountain. Maybe I could move one of those with a shovel. I know I could stop up a Texas river with a brick. But you were recently in Washington State back in September. Mount Hood's not very far away. There are glaciers on Mount Hood that are thousands of feet thick. Just the glaciers. You pray for the mountain to be moved and God gives you a pick and a shovel. Would you look back at that mountain and go, that's not what I was asking? Because you're not going to move a mountain with a pick and a shovel. You can't do it. And yet he said right here, if you have the faith, then God can throw a mountain into the sea. You see, your faith is not the power. God has the power. But if you have the faith, God... I check CNN again this morning. I check it most every morning to see if there have been any reports of mountains jumping into the ocean. Didn't happen today. Didn't happen yesterday. It hasn't happened yet. You say, see, that just proves it can't happen. No, that just proves that nobody's had that kind of faith yet. That's what it proves. He said, wait a minute. You're expecting God to do the impossible. Okay. I mean, he took a man that was 100 years old and gave him a baby boy. That's pretty near impossible, don't you think? When his wife was 90. I mean, you may figure out how the guy could pull it off, but 90-year-old woman having a baby, that's typically not going to occur. Aren't you ladies happy about this? I'll remember that. He's the God of the impossible. As a matter of fact, you even put it on here. He is able. Think about it. He is able, more than able. To do what? Make the sun rise? Make the moon rise? To make the world spin? Takes a lot of power to do all those things, don't you think? Yeah, but he doesn't have enough power to fix what I'm facing. Oh, more complicated than a sunrise, is it? More difficult than speaking universes into existence with a word. Maybe if we just started believing what we see, we'd start seeing things we haven't seen. And so the American adage, I'll believe it when I see it, is not the biblical adage, which basically says you'll see it when you believe it. It's kind of like this, if I can illustrate. My wife has several strange habits, one of which is she continues to marry me. Another is that any time I can comfortably afford a mortgage payment, she thinks I need a new challenge. You guys will amen anything, won't you? So the last new house we bought, which has been a while, so I'll tell you how long since I've had a raise. The last new house we bought was just like everything we wanted, except it was a big power line just across the back of the 1 acre lot that it's on. And I'd read some things about maybe power lines might be dangerous, and so I called Georgia Power, you know, because we live in Georgia. And so they came over there, and they brought this thing, if I remember correctly, I think he called it a milligauss measurer. And he went through the house just measuring the ambient electricity in the air. And he went from room to room, and et cetera, et cetera. And finally he said, your house is just high average. If it were sitting out in the middle of a field somewhere, it could have this much ambient electricity. And of course, being a typical American consumer, I replied, how do you know that thing works? So he walked out under the power line. I walked out to the back of the lot with him. We stood under the power line. He put it there, and the thing pegged over. I said, whoa, there's a lot of electricity in those lines. He said, not really so much. Those are not the big lines. He said, if you walk under the dam, when they are running all the turbines, he said, you can hold a fluorescent bulb in your hand and it will dimly light up just right there in the air. I thought, there's got to be an illustration in this. I can use this somewhere. And so I got to thinking, now you understand I know nothing about amperage, voltage, I know nothing about electricity at all, but I'm just going to try to take a guess here. You ever seen those little 9-volt wires that hook up those little square 9-volt batteries to run little toys and gadgets? Ever seen one of those wires? How much electricity do you reckon you can put through one of those little 9-volt wires? 9 volts sounds good to me. Just makes sense. Would you want to take a little wire like that and plug one end into the wall and the other end into your lamp? I don't think I would, because I think that that wire is not heavy enough to handle that and might be a fire hazard. Would you want to try to run your air conditioner with it? You say, no, why not? There's too much power required to go through there. You could burn that little wire up. And I got to thinking, you know, in a sense, that's really what faith is. It's just a wire. Power's up there, and it's beyond imagination. He has it, and he's brought it here. How do I get it into my life? Got to have a carrier. Got to have a wire, and that's my faith. If I pray with little faith, I can only get little power, because if I pray with little faith and get a lot of power, it'll burn that little faith up. It'll just destroy it. Because I can't comprehend that God did it, I wind up talking about coincidence and luck and things like that. Because I just can't picture God doing those things. Does that make sense to you? So I would think that if you want to have more of the power of God, you've got to have more faith. Have you ever been around people that had so much faith that when you were around them, you glowed? Just being in their presence, you just felt, some of that's getting on me. I just feel more faith for God because of how much faith you have. And have you ever seen what happened when those people pray? One of my brothers in the flesh, Greg, very deeply godly spiritual man, he has a prayer life that just blows me away because he has such faith, just unbelievable faith. I mean, when Greg prays, it's kind of like, God, it's Greg. And I can almost picture in heaven God saying, shh, it's Greg. We must listen. This man just lives by pure faith. And when you have that kind of faith, what is it that can't be done? In the next hour, we're going to be talking about some of the things that have happened and can happen if you decide to stay. If not, you can buy the tape. If you don't want the tape, you don't have to do anything at all. But you see, I'm quite convinced, my brothers and sisters, that we have seen on this planet what just the power of belief in a human being can do. Belief in an idea can do. When John Kennedy was president, he said we'd be on the moon in a decade. And because people believed we could, we were. That's the power of human faith. Tie that to God. And what can happen? Anything. He is able, more than able. It'd really be neat if we could believe that. To do anything. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. That's what Paul wrote. My brothers and sisters, let's quit being satisfied with 9-volt faith. and 9-volt results. Let's go for the 220. And hang on when you watch God do things you could have never planned. You could have never orchestrated. And just watch God work and stand back and go, whoa! Our God is alive. Out of time, I'll share more with you in the next hour if you decide to stay about how this really works. If we can assist you, room 109 in the back if you want somebody to pray with you or help you. If today you want to be baptized into Christ, be immersed, we'll help you here. But make your need known while we stand and sing this song.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages as His ways and His dreams, glory in the highest I shall ever see. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing on the promises, standing.
You have a seat, please. Would you pass your attendance cards to the aisles at this time? And our guests, please turn in that purple card, or like I said later, you can take it to the Welcome Center. We'll give you a Bible. All of these tapes are going to be available, and you can check with the tape ministry. We announced yesterday at the men's retreat, and I want all the men, including those that couldn't be at the retreat, to hear this. We want to start a men's Bible study here at the building. We're going to start a week from Tuesday and then a week from Saturday, a study for 7 weeks called The Man God Uses by Henry Blackaby. I'll lead the Tuesday study from 6:30 to 7:30 in the morning, and Dwayne Jinks will lead the Saturday study from 7 to 8 in the morning. And we'd love for you to join us in that study. Can you commit to 7 weeks being in the Word and growing with other men? You need to go to the registration center on either level of this atrium and sign up today. The cost is just $11 for the workbook. And I think it'll be a great blessing to you. Remember, the summit's going to be on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, and we want you to be there for that as well. I think a mountain is just anything you think can't be moved, anything that seems absolutely impossible. And I think every one of us have some mountains, some things that we've kind of given up on because it just seems like they won't budge. I'd like you to bow your heads right now, please, okay? What's your mountain? What's a thing it just seems like it just won't budge? Why don't you take a moment right now and ask God to give you more faith to pray about it. Ask Him to make the wire bigger in your heart so that more of His power can flow. Now let's sing together.
He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able. Do my much more than I could ever dream. He is able more than able to make me what He wants me to be.
And that was good that we sang that to each other, but now let's stand up and let's sing it to Him. You are able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. Father, we do believe. Help our unbelief. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I promised the men yesterday at the retreat that the men's praise chorus of the retreat would sing a song to all the church. So all the men on the retreat, you're supposed to be coming up to the front right now. Let's give these guys a hand. We learned a new song called Shout to the North. I think the words are going to be up on the screen. You are going to love this song. It's going to become part of our repertoire here at the church. And you're going to be encouraged seeing all these guys whose faith has been challenged and who want to praise the Lord. The song is called Shout to the North. I think you'll pick it up pretty soon. It's going to be a blessing to you. Look at this army of men. Isn't that exciting? These guys that want to put Christ first.
Men of faith, rise up and see of the great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak. In your brokenness complete, shout to up, women of the truth, stand and sing to broken hearts. Who can know the healing power of our awesome King of love? Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of church with broken wings, fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By His grace again we'll fly. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of truth on our lips. We will shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We will shout to the north and the south,
Sing to me, East and the West. Jesus is Savior to all. Lord.